For my bridal shower, I made one very clear request to Emily, Chloe, and Natalie. I did not want lingerie as a gift. I wasn't comfortable opening something like that in front of my family and my fiance's family. Chloe made it very clear that she didn't care. Before the shower, she repeatedly said she was going to buy me lingerie anyway. When I told her she needed to respect my boundaries and that I simply wouldn't open her gift in front of others. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. If it's your first time here, welcome. We dive into some pretty wild stories from followers about weddings, events, bachelorette parties, and so much more. There's really no limit. If you guys have a story of your own, please submit them. We are always taking new stories, and I currently have a form of over 300 entries, 300 plus probably. And it's funny because when I turn these into skits, once I'm into a new skit, I kind of forget old ones. Not like I forget the characters. If someone brings up a storyline, I'm like, oh yeah. But you guys are so good about remembering characters, what they wore, where I left you guys hanging, and where I need to continue. One of the most popular ones that I get a request for continuing is the Elle and Vivian skit. And that has been on my roster for so long to continue with season two. And I really can't blame it on much other than I just started ramping up other content, my podcast. And I was just like, okay, I need to do other stories. So if you are a fan of the Elle and Vivian skit, don't worry. I do have plans on continuing it. I will give a better estimate when I know. As of recording this, I just finished sharing the You Stole Our Wedding Year skit with Lizzie and Max. And you guys convinced me to do an epilogue. So that was a two-part epilogue. It was so much fun to create, but I know the ending made people very disappointed just because I follow the storyline where, spoiler alert, if you have not listened, fast forward a little bit, but Max stays with Lizzie and he ultimately cuts contact with his family. And the reason I wanted to share this was because not every story we get, in fact, we see all the time, does not end happy. And I know it would be great to have every story end where, oh, he realizes his mistakes, he's going to go back. It just doesn't happen like that. So I wanted to kind of show the outcome after that. He goes through with it. He has too much pride to say, you know what? I let my future wife treat you guys this way. I'm really sorry. I'm going to back out now. And it's happened so many times. And people are like, okay, well, can you do one in a couple years or 5 years down the road and show us that he realizes? And I'm like, I've seen firsthand where people are stuck in toxic relationships for a long time because of pride, or they've gone so long without talking to their family that they just kind of keep moving forward. I also want to draw attention to when we get a story, we are only hearing from that person's perspective. And I just talked about this on a YouTube. So for example, I could do a video from Lizzie's perspective, right? So Lizzie's the toxic bride or bridezilla, if you want to call her that. And I could do it from her perspective. And maybe from her perspective, Max's family really did never want to support them. Maybe Max's family said no to a lot of things. Maybe early in their relationship, Max's family was rude or dismissive of her. We don't know that. And I know people are going to be listening and be like, no, that's not how it was. But we don't know, right? So when we get stories sent in, I just take it from that person's perspective. And, you know, I tweak some things, I add some things, and we just have to make our own assumptions as we listen to it. And then, of course, I added in all the drama with the bride's mom that did not actually happen, just having some fun with it. But on to the next storyline. I don't know if they're going to be reoccurring characters that you see. I know we always want the characters to keep going when we become really attached to characters. I mean, I still get people asking about Ferris and Sloan, Elle and Vivian, like I said. What was the other one? Cher and Dion. People really love those storylines. If you guys don't know what those are, we'll link them at the bottom. Those are some of like the earlier long skits. After Ferris and Sloan, I did a lot more longer skits. And now I feel like I'm finally at a place where I have a routine of how to like manage my time, have boundaries, and also record, not quickly, but have a plan for when things come out. I was saying this recently, but I used to film in my bathroom and I would just kind of have a very basic idea of what was going to happen. Pick up my phone and be like, oh, okay, you know, here's the conversation that's going to go take place. But then I would just kind of like roll with it. And then wild things would happen. That's how Ferris and Sloan season one happened. Like things just came out, right? Now I sit down, take my time with the script, write it all out, And then each character has an outfit, and I film character by character. Where it's harder is kind of figuring out where each person's standing. And I'm like, where should they be looking? Okay, how's this scene look? But where it's easier is the editing, because then I have everyone together. I can really get into the character instead of being like, oh, this person's mad, but this person's sad, this person's happy. I hope you guys are enjoying how I'm doing things a little bit better this time. And I know you guys just see what I put out there. You don't really see the behind the scenes. But for me, I feel a little more at ease, because when I tell you guys some of the skits I used to film, I could feel my heart pounding out of my chest when I was filming, because I was anxious about getting it done in a certain amount of time. I would try to film, post, and edit all the same day. If it was late, I was stressed if I like couldn't get it done in time. So there was a lot going on, but I think we're at a better place now. And I hope to constantly improve and constantly add stuff to how I'm creating and filming content for you guys. Okay, so I know that was a little bit of a rant, but so many times you guys leave me such kind comments and say, never apologize for the rants. They're kind of like caffeination rants. I don't even know what you want to call them. I get really energetic and excited about certain things. Okay, let's go into dilemmas. So this is a little dilemma that was sent to me. As a reminder, if you want to send a dilemma, just ask me my opinion on something, or really want the audience's opinion. I always share these on my social media as well, so people can share. Send them to me, hello@kristaennis.com, or you can DM me. The best place to DM is on Instagram at @heykristaennis, and I will filter through those. It's just a great way to get just some more input, because there's a lot of situations out there that are really hard to just grasp on like what to do. And it's good to get an outside perspective. Okay, so here we go. My sister, Emma, and I are both getting married 9 months apart. She got engaged first, and I got engaged about 6 months later. We booked our wedding venue just a few weeks after getting engaged for a 2027 wedding. Shortly after, Emma booked hers July 2026. It honestly felt like she rushed to lock hers in first because she seemed annoyed that we booked our venue so quickly. Dress shopping for Emma was a nightmare. She tried on nearly 100 dresses, and throughout the process, our mom made her feel awful. Our younger sister and I spent most of the appointments trying to do damage control and keep the peace. Fast forward to 6 weeks before Emma's wedding, it was finally my turn to say yes to the dress. Everything was going perfectly until we left the bridal shop. Out of nowhere, my mom became upset, insisting that I hadn't thanked her and that I'd been speaking to her rudely. That simply wasn't true, and several other people were there to back me up. Then Emma completely exploded at me. She called me rude, criticized the way I behaved, and reminded me that our mom had paid for my dress. An argument broke out, and I left the bridal shop in tears. Since that day, I haven't spoken to either of them. Wow. Emma's wedding is in 6 weeks, and right now, I don't plan on going, even though I'm one of her bridesmaids. I feel like she completely ruined what should have been one of the most special days of my life. As for my mom, she has a habit of getting upset anytime she isn't the center of attention, and this wasn't the first time it's happened. I've decided I'm going to pay my mom back for the dress, and honestly, I'm seriously considering cutting ties with both of them. I know that might sound extreme, but this was the final straw after a long history of similar behavior. Growing up, Emma has always been the golden child. Okay, so that's where it leaves off. I think, gosh, there's so much to say here and so much to unpack, right? And it sounds like she says there's a long history, right? So I can only grab what I'm given here, okay? I think there's a lot of tension just building up over the years. I don't think, like she said, I don't think it's about just this one thing. But the fact that her mom exploded on her and then the sister didn't back her up and started going off on her saying, well, you should be grateful because mom bought this dress for you. It just sounds like a competition was just ready to come head to head and explode. Now, where it comes for inviting them or not inviting them, you know what? Let's start first by talking about her not going to the sister's wedding. You can only be the one to decide that, right? You know deep down and you know everything that's happened. And if something in your gut is telling you not to go to this because you're going to be miserable, uncomfortable, you would rather them just have their day, then more power to you. However, I personally would not just no-show. I would talk to your sister ahead of time and say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking about. And just sit down and communicate. Maybe that's been weighing on her too. Maybe there's something you guys can clear the air on. And I'm not saying it's going to fix everything. Tensions run high around weddings and all kinds of events. And I would just hate, again, we all have our reasonings for blocking or distancing ourselves from people. But I would just hate for you to look back on it and being like, oh, I should have just talked to her. Or you find out later, like Emma's going through something. And you're like, oh, I wish we just communicated. Now I wasn't at her wedding for her. So I would just really think about how you can maybe reach out to her and just say, like, I just want to discuss what happened. This is what hurt me. I really wanted you to back me up when mom was making my dress shopping about me. This was something I'd looked forward to for so long. And I really feel like it was ruined. You took the joy out of it. And just see what she says. Because I think, like, at the end of the day, you want her there to support you, right? But it doesn't always look like that. It's not going to always be that way. And so I think it's really important that we ask ourselves, okay, how can this work moving forward? And at the end, if it's not going to work, and if you reach out to her and she's rude back, she's like, whatever, I don't care if you don't come, please don't come. I'd rather you not come, then you know, right? I just hate leaving it completely open-ended and not reaching out or giving that last piece. Because I think in the heat of the moment, we say a lot of things we don't mean, or our emotions take over us and we're already stressed about the wedding, right? And so we say things and we're just like, whatever, screw you, stop talking to me. So I would just try to reach out. As for your mom, it sounds like a completely different relationship. In the beginning, it does sound like there's still that competition with Emma. But with your mom, it sounds like there's always been a kind of riff, right? So if you can get okay with one, at least have communication with one, ask yourself, is it worth the communication with your mom? Again, I think it is worth a conversation, but it sounds like the mom conversation is going to be a lot bigger and a lot deeper. And if she's someone that's not willing to hear you out, or like you say, she's upset when she's not the center of attention, that's going to be a much harder conversation. Now, you have 6 weeks until the wedding, which in wedding planning is not a lot of time, but in talking to someone, I think it is a lot of time. Plan a couple weeks out. Let's meet for coffee. It's in a safe place. You're in public, which means people aren't going to be like yelling. If you go to someone's house, there's more likely to be some yelling and some disagreement. So if you're like, hey, let's meet for coffee, I just want to calmly talk to you about something that's been upsetting me. I'm getting married right after Emma. I always picture my mom and my sister there, but as of right now, I'm feeling that would cause me more stress. So you kind of have two angles to go here. Focus on your sister's wedding first. Don't do the no call, no show, you know, kind of thing. I really think if you aren't going to go, you need to tell her. That way, she could be at fault here. I'm just an outsider. But picture being a bride and then your sister not showing up that day and you had no clue. That can leave you at a very difficult position, and that can leave you feeling very anxious and upset on your wedding day. So just something to think about there. Okay, so then going to your wedding, you say right now you're considering cutting ties with both of them. So again, I don't know everything that happened in the history. You said this was the final straw. So there's been things throughout your life that has upset you. Maybe it's been the two against you. I don't know where your little sister comes into that. It says Emma's been the golden child. So I feel like this has been something that you've been dealing with for a long time, whether it's been internally or externally, a lot of fights or disagreements. You need to kind of think about everything and how it made you kind of come to this conclusion. And if you feel more stress about having them at your wedding, this might be the right decision. Obviously, Emma's wedding is first, so I would see how Emma's wedding goes if you decide to go. If not, communicate, and then you have to go to the next one. It's hard, especially when two siblings that have been rivals get married within the same year. We see it time and time again in stories that are sent to me. It's just a very challenging time, and it's hard to let go of disagreements or different things that happened when you were a child. And I think everything kind of comes to a head, whether that's good or bad. I think sibling fights can be good because it can kind of bring out true emotion and true communication. But then you kind of have to either decide, do you want to piece it back together one by one, or do you want to let it fall apart? So I know that was kind of a lot, but I'm interested to hear what other people have to say as well. So if you guys listening have your own input, maybe something similar happened to you, or you've seen something similar happen, please leave a comment on our YouTube or on our social media. All right, I hope that helped. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. All right, guys, let's jump into some hot takes, and then we are going to get in this week's story submission. All right. Not every best friend needs to be your maid of honor. 100%. Yes. I don't think being a friend or a sibling guarantees you're going to be a maid of honor or even a bridesmaid. Everyone does things differently. It's just your closeness, maybe reliability, maybe their desire to be in a wedding. Some people just don't care about that stuff. So ask yourself those questions. It's okay to outgrow friendships after a wedding. Yes. And I was just actually thinking about this the other day, how not only are weddings make or break for a lot of relationships and a lot of like family relationships, it's make or break for people in your wedding. And I hate to say it like that, but I've been in a lot of weddings where the last time friends saw each other was at the wedding, whether it's a wedding guest or bridesmaids. But specifically, I was thinking about bridesmaids the other day. And I think it's because you hang on to these friends for so long and you're like, oh, yes, they're going to be a bridesmaid in my wedding. And then it falls to the wayside. There's also that certain friend where their whole life, friends are on the back burner and every guy they date is on the pedestal in front of them, right? So they have these friends to hold on to until they get married. And then they're married and they're like, okay, just whenever I need them. And I've definitely have been that friend. I'm not going to say too much more than that. So I think you sometimes just realize, like, they came to my wedding and I think that's, we don't really have much more in common. Sometimes the bridesmaid isn't the problem, the bride is, 100%. We see that in stories all the time. If someone complains about every wedding they're invited to, maybe they're the difficult guest. Yeah, I'm shaking my head in case you can't see. Just people in general that every time you see them, they're complaining about something, probably not the easiest person to please, and they're just going to find something wrong no matter what. Friends shouldn't expect to bring their partner everywhere. In regards to weddings, I think your friends should be able to bring their partner. However, yes, I think it's healthy to have, speaking from a woman, a girl, I am all for female friendships, and I think you should leave your partner at home and have female friendships. I had so many friends growing up that like could not go anywhere without their partner. Or if you'd be like, oh, we're going to have a girls' night, they'd be like, oh, will so-and-so come? And you're like, this is a girls' night. He's not invited. I think it's healthy to have female friendships without your partner. You need it. All right, family hot takes. Child-free weddings are not anti-kid. Yes, I've said it a million times. You can absolutely love kids and realize not every single wedding is going to be the place for them. I can think of tons of places that just are maybe not suited for kids, and that's okay. Grandparents aren't automatically entitled to babysit or see grandchildren whenever they want. Yeah, of course. No one has that right to automatically see kids. Family members don't deserve unlimited chances just because they're family. Correct. I will not be elaborating at this time. Protecting your peace is more important than keeping everyone happy. Yes, 100%. Sometimes going low contact is healthier than constantly trying to fix relationship. Yes. You need to understand, especially if it's a relationship that constantly struggles or constantly has its battles, you need to decide when it's time to step back and say, okay, we are not going to be that type of sibling, friend, neighbor, whatever. Because sometimes we force ourselves to be close to someone because they're family. And I think sometimes we have to realize, like, okay, we can be good siblings, but maybe not like best friend siblings. Or we can be like this, but not like that. Or we can hang out this way, but not like that way. So I think low contact works for a lot of people. And that doesn't mean you don't like them. It doesn't mean you're not agreeing at the time. It just means you're respecting your peace in a way that's healthy for the both of you. That can also be things like, okay, we don't follow each other on social media, or we don't hang out at each other's houses. We only meet in public places. That kind of thing, just to keep yourself at peace. All right, guys, this week's story submission, let's get into it. My best friend Emily and I got engaged around the same time. Oh, this is like really close to the start of the other one. We also had another friend, Chloe, who we were close to at the time, but she wasn't seeing anyone. We later realized that Chloe tends to create drama where there really isn't any. Emily got engaged first, and Chloe and I were genuinely so happy for her. But when I got engaged shortly after, Chloe started acting weirdly clingy. She would physically wedge herself between me and my fiance and act strange whenever we were affectionate, like if we kissed or flirted. She also started making odd comments, almost like she was trying to create tension between me and Emily or find a reason to be upset with me. It didn't work. Emily is very anti-drama, and I mostly just ignored Chloe's comments. At the time, there was a lot going on, so I brushed it off. Emily asked me to be her maid of honor, and I asked her to be mine. We were both busy planning our weddings, and Chloe was asked and accepted to be a bridesmaid in both of them. Meanwhile, another friend of ours, Natalie, started pulling away. All right, so we've got Emily, Chloe, and Natalie, and the OP, who we do not have a name for. Okay. She's older than us and was feeling a bit left out because we were both getting married while she wasn't in a relationship. We reassured her that we'd always be there for her and that she would find the right person eventually. During Emily's wedding events, dress shopping, her engagement party, bridal shower, and bachelorette, Chloe was incredibly supportive. Anytime someone tried to ask me about my own engagement during these moments, I would redirect the conversation and say we were there to celebrate Emily. Emily had a short engagement while mine was longer, so all this happened before I even found my dress. When it came time for my own dress shopping, Chloe's behavior completely changed. She made me feel insecure and like I was wasting everyone's time. She kept rushing me and making comments that made the experience stressful instead of exciting. My mom and Emily are both very non-confrontational. Emily tends to avoid drama altogether, and my mom usually just rolls her eyes in the moment and vents to me later. Natalie is more confrontational, but since she doesn't know Chloe very well and knew I didn't want to give Chloe the satisfaction of causing drama, she stayed quiet too. Okay, but Chloe's comments eventually crossed the line, and my mom actually snapped at her in the store where I found my dress. Go, mom! I mean, that's the thing. I like to say I'm very non-confrontational. I don't like causing a conflict or anything like that. But when it comes to things that are offensive or rude or talking about a friend of mine in a negative way, I will stand up for them and I will say that. I'm glad someone eventually did. And I'm curious about this Chloe girl. I have a couple of guesses here. Either she's extremely insecure about being single and not having someone, or my mind did cross, maybe she's got a crush on the OP here and she's just like, wait, no, I didn't want her to get married. I don't know. There's some weird things she's doing here that almost sounds like she wants to be a barrier between her getting married. And that's very odd to me. You can quickly tell when you are engaged and planning a wedding, which friends are not supportive. I'm very lucky I did not have that, but I've seen it firsthand in a lot of weddings. So just interesting. For my bridal shower, I made one very clear request to Emily, Chloe, and Natalie. I did not want lingerie as a gift. I wasn't comfortable opening something like that in front of my family and my fiance's family. Chloe made it very clear that she didn't care. Before the shower, she repeatedly said she was going to buy me lingerie anyway. When I told her she needed to respect my boundaries and that I simply wouldn't open her gift in front of others, hopefully she wouldn't wear it, she said she would force me to open it in front of my mom and future mother-in-law. Okay, this woman does not like you. There's something in her that does not want to see you happy. Someone that's directly telling you, hey, I'm not going to respect your boundary. Hey, I'm going to embarrass you. Hey, I'm not happy for you. Hey, I'm going to make negative comments about you at your dress shopping. We got to snip, snip, snip. Like, we don't want someone like that around us. That's wild. Force you to open a gift. At that point, I'd had enough. Emily's wedding took place before my bridal shower, and we had a conversation about Chloe's behavior. I told Emily that I wanted Chloe to step down as a bridesmaid and uninvite her from my shower, but I didn't want to cause drama during her wedding, so I decided to wait until after. I think that's pretty smart. go with the flow for your first friends for Emily's wedding and then cut ties. I mean, it doesn't sound like she wants to directly cut ties. She just wants to have her step down, but I think that's smart. During Emily's wedding, Chloe was still annoying, but she managed to behave herself for the most part. After Emily and her husband left for their honeymoon, I met up with Chloe to talk. I stayed calm the entire time and explained that I was uncomfortable with her behavior. I gave specific examples, how she acted during my dress appointments, her jokes about disrespecting my boundaries, and how differently she behaved during Emily's wedding events. Chloe immediately got defensive. She blamed everyone else for her behavior and refused to apologize. At that point, I told her I needed to ask her to step down as a bridesmaid. I also told her that while she was still invited to the wedding, I wasn't comfortable having her at my shower. Ooh, okay, so I haven't finished quite yet. There's like a little bit left. This is challenging. I applaud this person, this bride, for saying this and confronting her. Because I think so many times in these stories, they're like, oh, I just put up with it. And there's someone in the wedding. And on the wedding day, they were rude to me. They did this to me. They put me down. And she saw what happened at the dress shopping. She saw how she treated her. She saw her ignore her boundaries. So she's like, hey, I'm going to talk to you. Here's what I need from you. Here's my concerns, blah, 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 blah. And then seeing how she's acting, she's like, okay, I don't want you to be in the wedding. So her response, if anyone can guess, is she said she didn't want to be friends anymore. And that was the last time I ever spoke to her. Oh, no. That's the thing, too. If you can't have an honest conversation with a friend without them just immediately cutting you off, that tells me what? That Chloe never really liked you. That might sound extreme, but that tells me that there was something in her this whole time where she felt superior to you until you got engaged. And she's like, I'm going to try to embarrass her or make her uncomfortable. And the fact that you stood your ground, you stood up for yourself and said, hey, this is making me really uncomfortable. Here are my examples, A, B, and C. And she couldn't handle that. And that was all she needed to cut you out. I would say that's a win in your book. I hate this phrase because I'm not trying to call this person trash, but the trash takes itself out, right? In your perspective, your life, right? I was just saying this again. You are the hero in some people's stories. You're the villain in others. That's just how life goes. People make up stories how they want, right? So she took herself out of the equation. She said, this is how you feel about me. Then I won't be there at all. Let's just not be friends. And in all reality, someone that acts like that, just asking them to step down from a bridesmaid but still be a guest at your wedding is kind of like, meh, they're still going to be there. So what does that really do for you? That gives her the satisfaction of like, oh, you're not completely cut out from the wedding. I think this was the best thing for you. I don't know if your wedding has happened yet. If it hasn't, good luck with everything. And I hope it goes amazing and smooth and that Chloe is just a little blimp in the wedding planning. If it has happened, please update because you kind of like got rid of the drama. I'm sure there wasn't much drama. The other thing I want to point out is you also said, do not come to the shower. I'm uncomfortable with the shower. See, I would be mortified if a best friend of mine, if I was in their wedding and they came to me and said, here's why you made me uncomfortable. I don't want you to be a bridesmaid and I don't want you to come to the shower. I'd be like, what? Like completely mortified. Knowing me, I'd be like, well, what can I do? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was acting that way. You know, of course, unless it was completely out of line. But for the most part, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't be like, you know what? Friendship over, bye. So if it's telling or if it's not telling, let me know what you guys think. That's a wild story. And I feel like both of our dilemma and story of this week really connect with friendships and relationships and who you have in your wedding and who you allow in your space during your wedding or any event, right? And I think a lot of times when we're younger, we're told, oh, just invite them. Oh, come on. They're your sister. They're your friend. Oh, you've known them a long time. Just suck it up. And I think as we get older, we kind of realize like, well, no, I don't have to suck it up because they were rude to me. I don't have to put up with that kind of behavior because it's easier or it's nice. Why do I have to be the bigger person? So yeah, I don't know. Let me know what you guys think about that. As always, in case you are listening just to the audio here, you can see the full video on YouTube. We always post them there, so check it out. All right, guys, ending as usual with our confessions. So let's read these. This week we asked, a compromise you made for your wedding that you still resent a little bit. Okay, This person says, I couldn't get married in my own church because my in-laws wouldn't attend. I'd be like, well, then don't come. I had a therapist on here and I asked her about like people that threaten to not come because they're not getting their way. And she said, you just have to sit down, reinforce your boundary, and let it play out. If they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to come if you don't move me to a different table, then you have to be like, okay, then I will either see you or I won't see you. Because when we start changing things for other people, then what do they say? Like, you give an inch, they take a mile. So I'd be curious to see what else they made her change. The father-in-law threw a surprise reception that had family and his friends and none of our friends, 10 years still on it. Wait, I need to know how a surprise reception happens. So like you guys maybe eloped and then they just threw you guys a party without actually like consulting who you'd want there. Interesting. Scrapped a dream to plan smaller where I live to reduce the amount of time with my mom planning. Oh, so you wanted a simple wedding, so you have to like plan with her. This person says letting kids be there. Oh, I'm interested to know why. I would want to hear that story. My sister-in-law as a bridesmaid after she had meddled with my wedding. Need to know more to that story. This person says inviting my mom. And this person says reception at a restaurant. Okay. It's hard, especially when you're young or you have a lot of voices coming in telling you it should be a certain way. But I always find when you cave in some direction, that ends up being your regret. So always, always get on the same page as your partner first, then invite in other people. And I know that's easier said than done because sometimes people invite themselves in at the start of the engagement. So just make sure you have those boundaries and try to protect your peace. All right, guys, that is all I have for this week. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I will see you next time. Bye now. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.